Are you not lifting weights yet and ready to get started? The quickest and easiest way is with my do-it-yourself online courses. Learn to lift at home and learn to lift at the gym. They are neat little kits with everything you need to get started today. Interested? More info at www.befitafter40, that's 40.com. Slash DIY, like do it yourself. And there's a link in the show notes. Happy training. Welcome to 40 Plus Fitness for Women. I'm Lynn, your host, a certified menopause fitness coach, helping women over 40 to build the bodies that they want to spend the rest of their lives in. And today we are going to talk about a topic that might be a little controversial, which is, do you actually need to track your calories to manage your weight or even to lose weight? And I'm going to be sharing my opinion on this matter. Well, spoiler alert, I do feel like you do need to track your calories in order to lose weight, and that it is a super useful tool and another piece of data which is super useful for you if you do want to manage your weight or even lose weight. But before we get started, I just wanted to share a little story about what happened to me over Easter weekend. So it was actually my birthday over Easter weekend. I turned 53 and I had the kids with me that weekend. And the tradition in our family is that on Easter Sunday, the children wake up to like their beanies filled with Easter candy, Easter bunnies, and this kind of Easter treats. So the Easter bunny has visited and brought candy. So I had candy in the house, which I don't normally have because I'm the kind of person that if there's candy around, I will eat it. And I know that about myself. And I am not trying to kill myself by, oh my God, I gotta have willpower or whatever. What I do, my strategy is that I just don't keep candy in the house generally so that I'm not tempted. And then I don't overeat candy because if it's there, I will eat it even if I don't feel like having candy. It's like it's there and there's just something like about my hand that it takes it and it puts it in my mouth. And it's funny because I don't know where this comes from because my mom is completely the opposite. If you go to my mother's house, she has little bowls of Skittles and nuts and chocolate sprinkled around the house. And but she's the kind of person who doesn't eat them all the time. In fact, she will take a tray with her to her bedroom in the evening to go relax and read the paper and watch TV and whatever. And she'll take like a piece of chocolate and a few Skittles. And in the morning, there'll be like half of that piece of chocolate left and some of the Skittles left. Would never happen in my house. But in any case, so getting back to the story is that so there was candy in the house. And of course, I maybe didn't give all of the candy to the kids, so I had some candy for myself. Plus, then we went out to dinner once for kind of Easter and my birthday and my oldest son's birthday. Then we went out to dinner again on my birthday, and I ate this enormous bowl. I'd already had Easter candy. I came after their dinner where I was already just way, 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 way full. We went to a cafe for some dessert and I had some cheesecake. And I'm not saying any of this is wrong, right? It was my birthday. I kind of just enjoyed eating, but I really actually overate. I mean, honestly, overate. And it's funny because even me, who knows so much better about how you maintain your weight and lose weight and all these things, my first instinct the next day, feeling like I am not stepping on that scale this morning. I feel like I ate a house or an elephant at the very least. I'm not stepping on that scale. I'm scared to get on the scale. I want to just go running. I want to go burn calories. I want to somehow pay for that and somehow get it off, get it off me. And yeah. So what I'm saying is I can completely identify, and it was an awful feeling. And what I had to really do was kind of shake myself and get a grip and be like, okay, Lynn, you know, what's going to get you back on track is just getting back on track. And so then got back in the weight room, got back into getting my steps every day, and got back to my just normal eating habits. And that was a blip on the radar. And now back to normal life. All right. But that was my Easter story. And maybe some of you have had the same Easter story. And doing a whole bunch of cardio to try to pay for it is not really gonna do a whole lot for you. But back to tracking, or actually on to tracking. So the reason why I feel so strongly that tracking is useful is that I keep running into women, my clients, women I talk to, who are under the impression that they're eating like 1500 calories a day. And some of them even are claiming to eat 1200 calories a day. But then when you sit down and you actually have the conversation with them and they think about it, and some of them are very savvy about calories, I'm like, really, are you sure that you're eating 1500? Because, you know, we really want to know what the baseline is so that we know what a calorie deficit is. Then, you know, they think through and they're like, oh yeah, but you know, I did have that glass of wine, ba-ching, that's 200 calories. I had some peanut butter when I was making a sandwich for the kids. Ching. I had some chips when I was watching TV on Saturday. You know, it's all these small things which you think you're eating 1500 calories a day, and actually you are just not. So tracking will help you to start being more truthful with where you really are with your calories. And I mean, you have to track everything. I know. Pain in the butt. I know some ways of making it easier are, well, what I like to do is I have my scale. And by the way, you need to track by weighing stuff, right? Not by one banana, because bananas, if you look in the banana rack, there are like huge differences in the banana. So yeah, weighing stuff is probably the best way to track how many grams, ounces, whatever the weight measurement you're using. But anyway, so I have the scale in my kitchen and I have the pad next to the scale. And I have just trained myself that if something's going to go in my mouth, it's going to go via the scale first, and I'll just write it down. And then if I am tracking, if I am interested in how many calories I actually consumed, then I will transfer that information into my calorie tracking application so that I can see what I'm actually eating. And what you probably will find is that you're eating a lot more than you think you are. You're maybe having a little bit of cheese on that sandwich and all this kind of thing. Anyway, so the tracking and the religious tracking will help you to understand that no, you're fooling yourself if you think you're eating 1200 calories a day and not losing weight, or even worse, gaining weight, okay? Because that's really very unlikely, okay? And then the other thing that tracking really, really helps is for you to understand what are kind of expensive things to be eating and less expensive things to be eating, calorie-wise expenses, that is. So for example, you know, when I was in my calorie deficit, so I was really, really tracking very religiously, I would do this writing down all day long. And then before my last meal, I would put it all into my calorie tracker. And at that point, I could see that, okay, do I have 100 calories left to spend, or do I have 200 calories left to spend? And then I start thinking, oh, okay, I have this many calories. Let's say it's 200 calories left to spend. Oof, so how hungry am I? And how much protein do I still need to eat? So that's always one consideration that I would use eat the protein. But then also thinking about, okay, do I feel really hungry? All right, then I need to make some wise choices. Foods that are going to make me feel full, high protein foods are some of them, and foods that have a lot of like substance to them, right? So you could choose like four M&Ms or two carrots. Which one is going to make you feel more full? Probably the two carrots, right? So these kinds of decision making becomes much, much easier when you have some idea of how the different foods compare. And you're not really going to understand that until you start paying attention to that for a little while. So I think that is a very eye-opening and useful experience. For me, for example, it led to food choices. Like I generally have a piece of bread with ham and cheese on it in the mornings. And when I was in my calorie deficit, I realized that that cheese is pretty expensive. So maybe instead of having two slices of ham and two slices of cheese, I'll have like eight slices of turkey for the same kind of calorie cost, or even four slices of turkey for fewer calories. And I'm still getting full plus getting protein. So you start to just be aware of that a lot more when you're tracking. And one tip that I really think is super useful, and it will kind of take the blinders off you, is to not think of how many calories per day you have, but think about your calories per week. So for example, if my diet calories were 1500 calories a day, times 7 days a week, that means I'm allowed to spend 10,500 calories in the week. This is very much like having money, a budget of what you're allowed to spend in a week. So 1500 calories is like $15, for example. So if you gave yourself $15 a day to spend, so that over the whole week, you could actually spend $105. That's it. You've got $105 to spend over the course of the week. Now, and you've got it in cash in your purse, no credit cards, nothing. If you think about that, you could do a strategy where you're spending $15 a day. And let's say this is now the price of food, right? Instead of calories. But let's say you're spending $15 a day on your lunch or food. And so that would be fine. You could do that every single day. But hey, wait a second. You have your friend's birthday dinner in an expensive restaurant on Saturday night. Whoops, $15 is not going to cut it for that dinner in that restaurant. So if you still only have the $105 that you can spend over the whole week on food, then you need to somehow cut your spending on the other days in order to have some extra for that Saturday dinner that you're going to spend at your friend's birthday. So maybe you only spend $5 on Monday or $10 on Tuesday and $10 on Wednesday, whatever, but so that you accumulate extra for Saturday, so that you still overall, because you can't spend more than $105 because you don't have more than $105, you stay within your budget. That is the attitude that you need to have when you are trying to diet if you want to have success. So all these people who talk about cheat days, well, does a cheat day work if you're thinking about money? Like you spend 15, 15, 15, then you spend $100 at your friend's dinner. How does that work? Like you just, what, where does that money come from? You pick it off a tree? No, you know, you're going into debt at that point for that money that you're spending on Saturday. So if you take that same kind of mindset around your calories, you can really be successful, but it's not going to work unless you're actually tracking. And by the way, you need to account for things like drinks, which are a lot of calories. So save up for that time. So that is, I think, my biggest tip for you if you're really trying to lose weight and manage your calories is you need to look at every single spending that you're doing. And the best way to really track that is to actually track that and not say, oh, I'm living on 1500 calories or $15 a day, but hoops, oh yeah, Saturdays I kind of like spend $100. No, then you are living on a much higher budget for your weekly budget. In fact, instead of spending only $105 each week, you would be spending $190 each week. So you are significantly over budget and you're going to go into debt. So you've kind of like screwed up, like you're not spending just 15 a day. On average, you are spending 27 a day on average. Okay. So that's what you need to understand about how much you're actually consuming. And once you get that piece, I really think that you're going to have success in your weight loss. And the other thing I would add to that is don't live in a constant state of feeling like you're in a diet or saying that you're in a diet or I'm you know, eating 1500 a day, because as I just discussed in my example, you're probably not, right? Your average is probably way over that. And that is why you are not losing weight, you're maintaining your weight or even gaining weight. And it's just exhausting to like fool yourself all the time like that. Rather just call a spade, say, hey, I'm actually eating 2,700 calories a day on average, and I'm gaining weight. And there's your reason why you're gaining weight, okay? So, all right, to summarize, the reason why I really believe that you should use the tracking as a tool if you're trying to maintain or lose weight is that A, it gives you a better awareness of what you are actually consuming, all the little nibbles and one bite here or there, you know, the couple chips or the cookie that you have with your coffee in the break room, whatever. It gives you much better awareness of that. Two, it gives you a realistic view of how many calories you're actually consuming. Third, it helps you to better identify foods which are giving you like more bang for the calorie. In other words, that have more protein, less calories in them, that are more filling and have less calories in them. You know, so you can pick and choose what you're eating a little bit more intelligently. And fourth, it enables you to do this kind of budgeting of your calories over the week, so that you can stay within your calorie budget and hit your calorie deficit goals and actually lose weight if that's what you want to do. Now, I don't think you need to be tracking your whole life. I think it is a very good exercise for some period of time. Like now, if you're going to spend this spring trying to lose a few pounds of fat, then it is a really good time to get really strict with your tracking. Practice that and then be done with it, right? Then you can stop tracking. Or I like to write down, like I mentioned, what I eat, but it's mostly that I like to do a quick check of what is my maintenance calories right now, because actually my weight has stayed the same for the whole year since I did my calorie deficit last spring. So I'm kind of curious, you know, if I pick here and there like a week, because I have a lot of those exceptional days, right? And then also I am interested in making sure that I'm eating enough protein. And that's 140 grams a day is my own personal target. Anyhow, so I hope, I feel like this was a little bit, maybe long-winded, but hopefully this was helpful as far as understanding a little bit more about the mindset around tracking and why it might be beneficial. And even might be beneficial for you to do so that you can stop feeling so obsessive about foods once you understand like which are the foods that are going to give you the most bang for your calorie and also really opening your eyes to what you are eating. So you're kind of seeing the truth instead of, you know, walking around with blinders on, like, oh, no, I'm really like living in this 1500 calorie a day diet, when actually, if you look at the whole week, your average per day is something totally different. All right. So I don't talk about dieting stuff very often, because really weight training is the thing that I am most interested in promoting among 40 plus women. But here was my thoughts on that, because this has come up a lot lately. And just a quick reminder that if you are in a calorie deficit or planning on going into one, remember to continue your weight training, because you want to lose fat and not muscle. And the way you signal to your body to hold on to that muscle is by strength training, pushing your body, and progressively overloading, training close to failure. And for more on that, I have other episodes. And if you want to get started weight training, then I've got my online courses and one-to-one coaching always available. So till next week, I will leave you with those thoughts and wish you happy training. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of 40 Plus Fitness for Women. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to show your appreciation, please hit the subscribe button. That helps me to reach more listeners, because it signals to the podcast algorithm gods that this is a good show. Talk to you next week.